It's not so long ago on this programme I spoke to Derek Acora, and I clearly said to him I didn't believe that he could see dead people. He has a show whereby he talks to people from the other side, and indeed he refuted the suggestion that it's a show. He was simply making contact with our loved ones. But what about the idea of angels? I'm much more open to that, because I was brought up on a little prayer. O angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. That's a prayer that my mother taught me way back in the mists of time when she was making reference to the angels. And indeed, today is World Feast Day of All Angels. And I want to speak to a woman who's written about them on many occasions in her books, Lorna Byrne. Lorna, good morning.
Good morning, Frank, and lovely to talk with you this morning.
Hey, thank you for coming on the programme, Lorna. It's a big day. It's a big day for angels. Now, immediately there'll be people saying, what a load of owl tosh. And there'll be other people turning the volume up who'd be lifted by the idea of angels being all around. Personally, I believe in them, but I'm not convinced that they can be seen. You can see them.
Yeah, I see them physically, as if I would see you. And I always say to people, I don't know why God chose me, because I'm just an ordinary person. But it's normal for me. I have seen them since I was an infant. You know, I didn't know they were angels, and I'd be trying to reach up and play with them when I was lying in my cot. It's just everyday part of my life. And the only thing I can say is, all that I can do is tell people that angels are real. I see them physically. I speak to them every day. They're part of my life. They're my best friends and companions. And every single human being, whether they're good or bad, or no matter what religion they are, has a guardian angel as well. I see the guardian angel with everybody. I'm just sitting in a car here now in Dublin, and a mother and child just walked by and just seen the guardian angel with both of them, and an angel helping the little child, entertaining the little child as the little child walked with the mother. To me, that's just normal.
Yeah, just let me stop you there, because you're painting a picture of a mum and little girl walking on the streets, like I can see out the window here, and you have the senior angel. What position is he or she in, guarding the mother? I have a picture of a little cherub who's playing with the child, but am I right in that? What just describe the actual angels, their positioning, what they look like, as you're seeing them at this moment.
Okay, as I saw them, because they've just passed. You know, the guardian angel behind the mother, you know, was what I always say, like three steps, but yet all around her. And that's something I find very hard to describe. And her guardian angel didn't give a male or female appearance, but the mother's guardian angel had, the only way I can describe it is its left arm, hand, you know, partly around the mother, you know. And I just felt that was to protect the mother as well as she walked with the child, you know, because of all of the traffic and the footpath and all of that. And the guardian angel of the child, that was completely different, because how would I say it? It's a bit harder to describe, but the guardian angel of the child was moving around the child, you know, not just behind it, but encircling the child. And the child had a stick in its hand, like a little bit of a stick, and the guardian angel was touching it every now and then, and the child was just swinging it back and forth in its hand. So that's how the guardian angel was helping to entertain the child as they walked along the street.
No, for anyone who's joining us at this moment, you're describing a guardian angel or two guardian angels that you saw 2 or 3 minutes ago.
No. And I'm seeing lots more, and I'm seeing lots of other angels as well. I'm seeing even unemployed angels, you know, because I'm sitting in the car and there's lots of people out on the street heading to work. So I'm seeing the unemployed angels as well, just helping people in different ways. And the unemployed angel just helps people, what I call, you know, with physical things. In that way, I see one now at the moment with a man you know, he's on a bicycle and he's just crossed the road and an unemployed angel was just moving alongside him. So I know the guardian angel is there as well, but the man must have asked for a little bit of extra help. So an unemployed angel is there to help him with other things in his life during the day.
So an unemployed angel, is he one that hasn't yet got a contract, or is he one that's a wee bit lazy? Indeed, should I be saying he, it or she? Why are there unemployed angels?
That's the name I gave them when I was quite young, unemployed, because I see so many of them, and they're neither male nor female, and neither angels aren't male or female. It's just that sometimes they give that appearance for us to help us to understand. But the unemployed angel is like an angel that God has just poured down onto the world. I would say, you know, like in bucketfuls, and there is millions of them just to help us. And I can see that the world needs lots of help. We need lots of help these days. You know, we need to realize that, you know, we're not just flesh and blood. We have that spiritual side, and there is a spiritual side of life. That is what God is. And we're all searching for that meaning. Is God real? And all as I can say to people is, yes, God is real, and angels are real.
So do you see anyone out your car window in Dublin going about their routine without an angel in close proximity?
No, I have never. And to me, that is actually something wonderful. I have never seen any man, woman, or child without a guardian angel.
So let me ask you this. It's an appropriate time to ask you the difficult question. If all of us have a guardian angel within a hounsgowl of us, quite close by, even some unemployed ones looking in who are looking for a turn, why on earth are there so many tragedies?
I actually don't have an answer. I don't know. The only sometimes I'd say maybe it's because we don't listen. And I know hearing the news there about ISIS, you know, why, you know, some young people joining the group and wanting to do bad things. All as I can say is we're not then listening to our guardian angel. We don't have enough of love and compassion in the world. We have become maybe cold and hard, you know, instead of reaching out and helping each other. And I know, like, I got a text message from a beautiful woman who I know for the number of years now. And, you know, tragically, she has cancer, you know, and she's three young children. And, you know, I pray and ask that God would heal her. But yet in my heart, I know she's not going to get better. So I pray and ask as well for extra time for her. And that is one thing this young mother would say, you know, she would say, you know, God has given her extra time already, has already given her, you know, an extra 4 years. And so I keep on asking for extra time. We don't know why, you know, a car crashes or why, you know, we'd have heavy rain and floods. There's no answer to those, or in one sense, why somebody, you know, decides to plant a bomb somewhere and kill innocent people. And I think when people do bad things like that, I think that is where they're listening to the other side. They're not listening to God or the guardian angel. They're listening to the other side, and they're just wanting revenge, and sometimes that happens.
Yeah, I can understand your argument on that one, and also the ISIS point that you made about maybe young people getting into their teenage years or late teens becoming part of such a horrific organisation, simply not being prepared to listen to any good that is within in their head. I can understand that argument. But what I can't understand, and you described the little cherub there with the little girl walking in the street of Dublin about 10 minutes ago, and you saw that. And I'm, you know, I would believe if guardian angels do exist, and I'd like to think they do, that every child has one. So then Why is it that we hear on the news, and we might hear on it in the near future, and we've certainly heard about it in the past, like a little girl will walk out in front of a car, or a boy will walk out in front of a car. Why would a guardian angel allow a little child to have that mishap?
I know, and I know that is so hard, and it's one thing I can't explain. But we're born to live, but we're born to die as well. And one would say, well, and I know it's not an argument, you know, maybe it was the child's time. I always remember a mother saying to me, you know, her daughter who was 10 years of age, that's exactly what happened. But the mother always, you know, she said to me, you know, every time she used to go out the door, you know, she used to say to her, now be careful on the road. And her daughter would run back and give her mom a hug. And the mom said, do you know, I think all of the time my guardian angel was telling the mother herself, this is what she was saying, that her daughter was one day going to go out to play and not come back again. We don't know. And, you know, to lose a child, you know, in any way like that, I think is horrific. There's no answer.
There is no answer. I'm not expecting you to deliver an answer on it, Lorna, because I'm very aware that there'll be people listening who have been hurt by examples in their life of great tragedy, and they'll be grasping for positivity in what you are saying. But I've asked you the most difficult question of all: why the angels allow the children to suffer?
I think they don't allow them to suffer. I think they do everything to protect them, and I think they do everything to protect adults to protect children, but a lot of the time adults don't listen. And I don't mean that's parents, but I mean governments and, you know, health agencies and all of that. But one thing we have to remember is when we lose a loved one, it's only their body that has died. They are still alive, because they have a soul. That's that speck of light of God.
Yes, and there's no doubt that you firmly believe in life after death. You'll not be surprised to hear that there's a mixed reaction on the text and the emails. I'm more than happy to hear from people. You can give us a ring, 90333105. Some people obviously read your books, and they are Lorna Byrne fans, and they are very in with what you're doing. And there are other people who are almost being witty in their reply, cheeky, and all of that. And I'll read some of them out in a wee while. But I just wonder, you know, as we go through our lives and we search for all forms of hope, there are people on this day, the Feast of All Angels, listening to you, and they'll be wondering, am I going to ask a question, which I have asked you before when I spoke to you on the radio, and it has to do with your optical ability, with, you know, how your eyes are. I get a bit of stick here in at home because I was recently featured in an advertisement for Optolays, and, you know, one person said to me at the time, you should ask the question again of the angels lady, maybe she needs to go to Optolays because there could be something wrong with her optic nerve. I'm asking you the question not flippantly, I'm asking you it because I've touched on it before. Might that be why you're seeing so much activity around people?
I don't know, but yes, I have gone to the optician on many occasions, and I have I had a cataract removed from my eye, and I still see the angels physically. You know, they don't see anything different in my eyes. They've never passed comment or anything like that. So I actually don't know how I see angels. You know, again, that's God. I would love to have an answer. I would love to be able to say, you know, it's because of this or that, but I do believe if I can see them, and I know in the future, you know, a parent will see their child's guardian angel. You know, I know that will happen. I would just love for people today to have more faith in God and in their guardian angel. And again, no matter what religion they are, and I suppose to love each other a little bit more. You know, and to love themselves, because you know the saying, you know, you can't love anyone else any more than you love yourself.
Lorna, it's always, in fairness, and I have to say this, it's always uplifting to speak to you, but it's equally interesting to get the feedback. And I appreciate you coming on at our invitation today on the Feast of All Angels. And the Lorna Byrne books are available. You can look them up on the website if you want to read more about it. Lorna, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
You're welcome. Could I just announce something that I'm doing in November? Would that be okay?
Okay. Go ahead.
It's in the concert hall, and it's for the Lorna Byrne Children's Foundation, and it's at 7:30 on the 22nd of November in the concert hall, and I will be in conversation with Kathy Kelly and myself, and it's for UNICEF, APA and Blue Box. So I'm just saying, anybody up Northern Ireland want to come to us, please, they would be supporting us. Absolutely great.
Okay, what date is it again?
It's the 22nd of November at 7:30.
Okay, that's the Concert Hall in Dublin. Lorna,
Hall in Dublin.
Good speaking to you. Thank you.
And thank you, Frank. And God bless and love you lots.
God bless you too. Absolutely. Uplifting, yes. Lorna Byrne there, author, angel viewer, and indeed great descriptions of angels that she's seeing in the street while she's speaking to us from her car in Dublin. Have you ever had anything like that, an experience with an angel yourself?